Court. My name is Kim Englehart Russo of Defiance Law Firm. Defiance being the historical name of Glenwood Springs where our firm is located. My registration number is 44513. I would like to address the court regarding mainly the issue of a lack of adequate findings with respect to why an allocation of parental responsibilities was rejected in this case and termination was favored. And if the court has any other questions of me, please feel free to ask. The children at issue, initials DJ and DJ, were 2 and 4 when they were terminated from their mother for all time. This is a case of a mother who has struggled with alcoholism, mental health issues, and poverty. These are illnesses and problems not easily overcome, and they can be lifelong struggles. However, after 11 months, her parental rights were terminated. In terminating her parental rights, the court found that her treatment plan was not successful, she was unfit, and she would not become fit within a reasonable time. Given the facts of this case, what is reasonable? The answer to that question is unclear. A resounding theme in this case is permanency. Termination was necessary for the sake of permanency. However, permanency was established before the motion for termination was filed, in the form of placement with the relatives. Additionally, another option was allocation of parental responsibilities, which was rejected based on the notion that these children need permanency, which again was already established. Can permanency be established through termination and availability of the fourth option? Yes, it can. Is that the best option? No. In fact, the law tells us that that is the least desirable outcome and worst case scenario. It's an outcome so drastic and unfortunate that the courts are required to consider and eliminate all less drastic possibilities. As I stated, the other options here were placement with the relative, as well as an allocation of parental responsibilities. The court stated in rejecting the APR, or allocation of parental responsibilities, that an allocation of parental responsibilities can be modified, and the parents can come back later and try and regain custody of their children in the future. Is that wrong? The parents' fundamental right to the care, control, and management of their children does not evaporate simply because they temporarily lost custody of their children. Even when blood ties are strained, a parent plays a vital role in preventing the destruction of the family unit on a permanent basis. The court seems to imply in its order that the ability to modify an allocation of parental responsibilities is undesirable, yet they provide no basis for this implication. Additionally, the fact that an APR can be modified is an obvious and inherent fact in all allocations of parental responsibilities. This was a fact that existed at the time that the legislature provided the different avenues for permanency. Did they not mean what they said when they said that placement with relatives and other options short of termination were possible? In this case, the court makes a general statement about allocations of parental responsibilities. It does not make a case-specific finding.
May I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
Wasn't the reference basically to the allocation of parental responsibility, just noting that legally there is the ability to modify, and that are you arguing that it's not properly a factor for the court to consider that it's possible to modify?
I don't think it's improper for the court to consider that, but the court does need to make findings specific to the facts of each case as to why an allocation of parental responsibilities is less desirable than termination. Otherwise, every case could result in termination rather than allocation of parental responsibilities based on solely the fact that they're subject to modification.
And your statement is that the specific findings then related to, for instance, the inconsistent visitation and the impact on the children and those kinds of things were not specific findings in support of that?
I believe those were specific findings in support of the assertion that mother would not become fit within a reasonable time and that she was uncompliant with her treatment plan and also that she was unfit. but not specifically addressing why an allocation of parental responsibilities would be inappropriate and under the circumstances, and why specifically it would be an undesirable outcome that if in the future a mother did regain quote-unquote fitness and desired to get custody of her children back, why that would be a negative thing.
Okay, thank you.
Based on the lack of findings in this case, the trial court imposed their own judgment over the judgment of the general assembly. In doing so, it erred. For this reason, we are requesting that the order terminating parental rights be overturned, or alternatively, that the case be remanded in order that the trial court be required to make adequate findings. These children deserve a reason. And I'm going to request that the rest of the 10 years are for that.
Very well, thank you.
Good afternoon, may it please the court. My name is Heather Beatty. I represent the people, registration number 37417. The termination of the parent-child legal relationship is the most severe outcome of a dependency and neglect action. For that reason, the case law has interpreted as implicit within the Children's Code the requirement that the trial court judge consider, quote, less drastic alternatives. However, the trial court must give primary consideration to the physical, mental, and emotional conditions and needs of the child. In this case, both children are under the age of 6. Which in Colorado, that means it's an expedited permanency planning case. They have to be in a permanent home within 12 months of the date of removal. And at this point in time, these children have been in the intervener's care for 20 months. The evidence in the record supports that the trial court did consider and dismiss the request that the court allocate parental responsibilities instead of terminating the parent-child legal relationship. Specifically, the interveners testified that they believed adoption was in the best interest of the children because it provides the most permanency, and they did not want to have to continue to come to court and fight for the children's best interests. They stated that the visits with respondent mother had not been consistent and that it was hard on the children, especially the older child, because she would confirm for visits and then not show up. Her visits were made less frequent to encourage her to make some visits. That was unsuccessful as well. Further, the interveners are kin to the biological father of these children. They also testified that they would consider visits with respondent mother if they were consistent. Because the trial court is in the best position to determine the credibility of the witnesses and the sufficiency and probative effect of the evidence, as well as the conclusions to be drawn therefrom, the court should not reverse the trial court's determination in this case. There is no Colorado case that I am aware of where the court has reversed and remanded a trial court's decision with regard to less drastic alternatives. There are far-reaching consequences of remanding and reversing this decision under the facts of this case. First, an allocation of parental responsibilities is not permanent. It is subject to change. And it is in the best interest of the children to have permanency. With regard to the issue of allocation of parental responsibilities, the determination that the parent is, quote, unfit, I would argue based on my review of the case law that unless there's a termination, the parent retains that presumption. So if this case was remanded back to the trial court, this court would have to determine that the statutory criteria for termination were not met. It would have to allocate parental responsibilities and mother would retain her fitness. That would be my argument. After an EPR is certified to the district court, there's nothing prohibiting mother from filing a motion to modify. And in fact, it can be argued that what Ms. Engelhardt Russo had said, that a parent's fundamental liberty just doesn't evaporate because the parent has lost temporary custody. And so in this case, I'm arguing that the correct findings were made by the trial court. The trial court did consider an allocation of parental responsibilities and rejected as not permanent and not in the best interest of these children because it was not permanent. And that's all I have, unless there are questions. Thank you.
First, Ms. Beatty admits that the children were in a permanent home. This is in contradiction to the argument that's been repeatedly stated, as well as the order of the trial court, that termination is necessary for permits. As far as considering the allocation of parental responsibilities, I agree that it was considered by the trial court. I agree that it was rejected. However, I disagree that there were findings. There were no adequate findings, as I said, specific to this case as to why an allocation of parental responsibilities is undesirable. They can be subject to modification. And parents do retain a presumption in their favor when they are asking to be have custody back through modification. That's pursuant to INRI BRD, which was actually cited by the people. That case shows what safeguards courts have put into place for biological parents, and that's for good reason. The caregiver's testimony was that they should be adopted and that an allocation of parental responsibilities would not be in their best interest. This is a self-serving statement by putative adopted parents. The people's brief also indicates that the caseworker relied heavily on the position of the caregivers, which is failing to give adequate weight to the parents and their rights. There are far-reaching implications if this case is overturned, but those are positive implications. One is that a trial court will be required to make specific findings for each case as to why they are eliminating these less drastic alternatives. As I stated before, termination of parental rights is a worst-case scenario. Everything needs to be eliminated before the court goes that direction. In addition, the presumption will remain for parents in a modification of allocation of parental responsibilities, and that's their right. That's based on their fundamental right that predates this case and probably predates the law. That is something that needs to be given much more weight, and clear findings need to be provided in order to justify the termination of parents' rights. Thank you.
So, counsel, in a nutshell, how did the court abuse its discretion?
The court abused its discretion by failing to provide specific findings as to why an allocation of parental responsibilities should not be ordered. Rather, they rely heavily on permanency, when permanency had been established even prior to the motion for termination was even filed. And I believe that that's a piece of description.
Okay. Anything else?
I just want to say, this is the first time, I believe, in the 8.5 years that I've been on the Court of Appeals that I have had anyone request oral argument in a DNN case. And I'm happy to hear the argument. These are very, very important cases. I'm not going to say that argument in these cases is always warranted, and I know both of you traveled quite a distance to get here today, but I do appreciate hearing your arguments on this case.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And since you both came from the 9th Judicial District, I'm going to get a point to check out our Learning Center down below and take a few minutes to while you're here. It's a really nice building.
It's a beautiful facility.
Thank you both. The case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course, and that will wrap up the court's docket today, and the bailiff shall sign it.